it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Any moment in Utah, officials will detail the charges against the man who killed Charlie Kirk. In an hour from now, a man has joined us a number of times while two separate times he was U.S. attorney for the state of Minnesota. And also now multiple times since he has left, Andy Luger is going to join us. Can't have a better guest than Andy on a day like this for him to react to these charges on this case and also the terrorism charges dropped against Luigi Mangione for his murder. And again, it's just despicable on a day like this. When the terrorism charges were dropped, Dave, there were numerous people outside the courtroom applauding. Nobody likes paying a lot of money for the health insurance. Nobody likes getting denied. Nobody likes watching someone close to you deal with more pain than they should. No one likes or wants anybody to be put bankrupt. And all of us, to some levels, to a little bit, to extraordinarily, painfully watching something related to healthcare, but the individuals who still celebrate Luigi Mangione, you should be embarrassed. It is despicable. He murdered a man, two children. Will not have a father. And every bit as outrageous as killing Charlie Kirk. Wife will never have thousands, tens of thousands of moments of memories, and Charlie Kirk's children will have little, if any, memory of him. We're going to get into part of the Kirk talk here. But again, Andy Luger in less than an hour. So the President of the United States, he met the media yesterday. He met the media today. what do you think? How many times does he meet the media in a typical week? Six? Seven? Honestly.
It's nearly every day.
Yeah, it is. And I don't always agree.
Sometimes multiple times a day, too, we should say.
There was one day recently where it was three times. And it's like, I don't know when they do anything, but they, listen, the last guy hid, and this guy thinks it's key to his popularity? Often, I don't agree, including today when he's threatening an Australian reporter and Jonathan Carl. That's nice. So yesterday, when he's in the Oval Office, he's asked because across the country, flags are flying. In most states, at half staff, right? Not New York, not New Jersey. I don't know if they're the only states, but they're the states I saw. Also, we should mention, all but five of the NFL teams who hosted a home game on Sunday had a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk. Among the teams who did not, the Minnesota Vikings. So that has created some controversy also. Because clearly in this town, the sports teams, in light of George Floyd, made a point of that. I mean, the Twins had the N racism on the wall for multiple years, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So the president is asked yesterday by Nancy Cordes from CBS News about Charlie Kirk and your decision here with the flags, and in contrast to what happened when Melissa Hortman, her husband Mark, and their dog were murdered. Is this the question, too?
I think I got a little of the question.
A little bit of the question, and here's the president's response.
Do you think it would have been fitting to lower the flags to half staff when Melissa Hortman, the Minnesota House Speaker, was gunned down by an assassin as well?
I'm not familiar. Oh,
the Minnesota House Speaker, a Democrat, was assassinated this summer.
Well, if the governor had asked me to do that, I would have done that. But the governor of Minnesota didn't ask me. I wouldn't have thought of that, but I would have if somebody had asked me. People make requests for the lowering of the flag, and oftentimes you have to say no because it would be a lot of lowering. The flag would never be up. Had the governor of Minnesota asked me to do that, I would have done that gladly.
Okay, I saw some people going at him hard on the first part when he's a bit confused. It's also possible he didn't hear the question. Okay? I'm not timid in criticizing Donald Trump, but he's 80. Okay? If he doesn't hear everything razor sharp, come on. Now, on the content, I'll hold off on my answer on the content because here's what the president said, and you got to pay close attention here because this is the definitive response when Caitlin Collins from CNN asked him, I think it was the day after the Hortmans had been killed, right?
I think you are right.
If not, it was 2 days after. Max, would he have a conversation with Governor Walz about what took place? Let's note that the White House and the governor's office, that people within the White House and the governor's office the morning of did have conversations, okay? So it wasn't like there was no communication between the office and the White House. But the president was asked, in light of, and again, I don't believe Vance Belter was captured at this point, but in light of a murder of a Speaker Emerita, and clearly at that time we knew also at the Hoffman's house, we would not know at that point about Ann Rest, we would not know about the list, but the president was asked, would you have a conversation with Governor Walz?
And this is a board Air Force One, so a little difficult to hear.
I think the governor of Minnesota is so whacked out. I'm not calling. Why would I call him? I could call him and say, hi, how you doing? The guy doesn't have a clue. He's a mess. So, you know, I could be nice and call him, but why waste time?
He's whacked out.
A mess.
He's a mess.
Why waste time?
Why waste time? Just pathetic. Honestly. Again, when he has turned this quickly into far left, far left, far left, and we're going to talk about that next segment, he is incapable of showing decency to the other side with any consistency. Rare moments? Sure. Rare. But at any point since Charlie Kirk was brutally murdered, and they're laying out the charges right now, absolutely unacceptable, awful, has he showed unity in any way to you? Any point, we collectively have to come together. We're all in this. Let's get better.
No. No. I mean, From the night of, talking about all of the political assassinations, and his list was everybody on the right.
Yep.
Nobody on the left.
And he said at one point, you know what the radical right wants? Laws obeyed and all that. I mean, Chris Wray, the former FBI head, who Donald Trump hired, by the way, and Donald Trump was going to fire him before Wray just quit before the second term of the president, laid out the biggest threat to this country was right-wing extremists. There's study after study about the rise of right-wing extremists. And to suggest, let me be quick, to suggest there aren't left-wing extremists who are capable of murder and taunting off comments, absolutely there are.
Clearly they are.
Clearly they are. But again, like Tom Friedman said yesterday in his column, this could have been a moment to have, as Tom wrote, Barack and Michelle Obama, George and Laura Bush, Bill and Hillary Clinton, the leaders of the Senate and House, all Supreme Court justices, and say something along the lines of, we're going to still have our political differences, and we're going to be passionate and intellectually defend it. But you have to understand, we're all here to condemn this, and we're going to act in that manner. But the president won't do that because he thinks he's right all the time, thinks admitting he's wrong is a sign of weakness, and he's honestly trying to tell us, as the president of the United States, he needed the governor to call him. Could I make the argument that somebody from the governor's office should have asked? Sure. Sure. But he never thought of it? Doesn't surprise me. If this would have been a prominent liberal activist who was speaking out and going to places where people did not agree with him or her as a liberal, and it was as vile as this murder of Charlie Kirk, is there any chance at all, that Donald Trump would have said, let's lower the flags?
Point two?
I'm going zero. I'm going zero. I just don't think there's any chance. And when he's sitting there and continues to talk about all the left does is demonize, there are plenty of people on the left who do. And I'm not talking about, you can still have very strong opinions, passionate, let's hope based in fact. But there's a line that clearly enemy of the country. Now he's suing the New York Times for $15 billion because he doesn't agree with them. And again, I'm not defending Walls in any way about his comments when he was joking about the president's health potentially dying. We crushed him multiple days on that. That is absolutely unacceptable, what the governor did. I don't care if it was in a smaller group when he's playing to his base. That is awful. So his hands are not clean in this either. But the other guy just does this on a regular basis and shows no signs of slowing down. You want to react? You can. 651-461-9226. You can call and text right now. 651-461-9226. I want to talk Pella. And I want to talk about a company that I've believed in at the last two houses I lived in. I lived in this neighborhood before I moved for 25 years. And this house was, we were not the first owners and moved in. And luckily enough, the folks at the house had made a decision with Pella Windows and Doors. Thank you. Because the house's windows were great. A couple of years ago when I didn't think I was going to move, I had Pella come out. After going to the showroom in Plymouth, they have showrooms in Woodbury and also Brooklyn Park. And I saw what they had. Then I went to PellaNorthland.com. Had him come out with a free visit and started working with the station. And guess what? Really changed my kitchen. And when I moved, I made sure Pella Windows would be a part of it. 100 years of success. When you go to PellaNorthland.com, you can schedule a free visit to your home, to your cabin, condo, whatever you have, maybe both. And they'll assess where you're at. I believe in them. And I think if you talk to since they've been around for 100 years, hundreds of thousands of customers, they'll back it up. Great opportunity here in September, too. One offer is 0% APR for 48 months. The other offer, you might think, is better. $250 off qualifying windows and $500 off qualifying doors. Track them down today. PellaNorthland.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that's you applauding in the background when Bill Guerin says that, too.
I wrote the script for him.
Thank you. Among the attacks, look at yourself. You're part of the issue by continuing to point out negative things on both sides that divide us. I am not condemning political opinions in any way, and often point out areas where I agree with politicians. We're talking about someone who was murdered at 31, and Charlie Kirk's calling card was his strong opinions and his willingness to debate them. So if you think now what people should do is not give their opinion and not defend the opinion, then you are the opposite of Charlie Kirk. The absolute opposite. There is a line of demonizing and political violence. This show never, ever, ever will ever get close to advocating for any level of political violence or not condoning it, whether I agree with the person or not, or if people are mocking it. But stop with the you shouldn't give your opinion, because the first person who would disagree with you is Charlie Kirk. Now, somebody talks about Ilhan Omar in this conversation. I have had, now, the last time we had on Ilhan Omar, it was after Annunciation.
Yeah, day of.
And it was the day of. And it was a very emotional conversation, and we received a lot of texts saying, you know what, I normally don't agree with her, but that was impressive. I've also had multiple interviews. And even the debate I moderated, where it got testy between us, because I've pushed strong back at her at times. She was on with Mehdi Hasan in the days after Charlie Kirk's death. And yes, two liberals. And yes, for some, two Muslim, which for some, not all, absolutely positively not all, but it agitates you. And that's gross. Where quickly they both said this was awful and expressed their sympathy to Charlie Kirk's family and said this cannot happen. But she also said other comments, okay, including pointing out that Kirk was willing to debate and downplay the death of George Floyd. That's a fact. He did that often. He's not the only one. There are many people who believe that. Downplayed slavery and what black people have gone through in this country by saying Juneteenth shouldn't exist. Omar then agreed with Mehdi Hasan, who believed Kirk just wanted to have a civil debate. They call that a complete rewriting history. Ilhan continued. There are people out there talking about him just wanting to have a civil debate. There's nothing more effed up, you know, like than to completely pretend that, you know, his words and actions have not been recorded in existence for the last decade or so. This is part of the problem here. That over the last 4 or 5 days, if you point out when Charlie Kirk laughed and joked about the attack on Paul Pelosi or talked about the death penalty for Joe Biden, or the rape comments, you're not allowed to say those. Again, he should not be dead. Never, ever should have happened. You shouldn't wish harm to someone you disagree with. But the idea that if you disagree with him or her and you can't point out where you disagreed with them is, again, the opposite of Charlie Kirk. When he would go to the mainly liberal campuses where liberals were trying to stop him from appearing, including at the place where he was murdered. There was a petition, what was it, like 3,000, 4,000 against him appearing and a small amount appearing? And that happens too often. It's classic Nancy Mace, let's pick out Ilhan, She's the boogeyman. And by the way, do I think some of her comments have been anti-Semitic? Hell yeah, I do. I told her that. Do I think some of her other comments at times I've massively disagreed with? Absolutely. But this idea that you can't bring up the comments which allowed Charlie Kirk to be well known, to be loved, to be detested, to be a part of his rise to, I mean, extraordinary success at a young age is nonsense, right, Dave? So it's just easy for individuals to say, yeah, we hate Ilhan, so let's bring this up without mentioning that she said repeatedly, this shouldn't have happened. So kind of picking and choosing on that one. And that doesn't mean I haven't called her out on other comments, because I have. All right, let's abruptly switch. Let's remind you the prosecutors are laying out the charges against the man who murdered Charlie Kirk right now. They have confirmed in the last few minutes that they will seek the death penalty against the shooting suspect, Tyler Robinson. On that topic and the dropping of charges against Luigi Mangione today, former U.S. attorney for Minnesota, Andy Luger's with us in about 35 minutes. But when we take the break right now, we'll give you traffic weather and talk with an excellent guest about the passing of Robert Redford, dying his sleep at the age of 89.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.